It all started with an application to open a gun shop.
At that time, Ronald Reagan had been shot, and at that time there was also a lot of shootings still going on in the south and west sides of Chicago.
Back in 1981, Don Snyder was a village trustee of Morton Grove. The board didn't just deny the application. The board banned the sale of handguns, and then it took another step, becoming the first in the nation to ban the possession of handguns. It set off a firestorm, a media frenzy that went international.
Japan sent their television people, in fact, they came into my house to discuss it. They were amazed that we had we didn't have laws like that in the United States.
State and federal courts upheld Morton Grove's ban. 32 years later, it's a different story. In 2008, more recent court decisions led Morton Grove to repeal its handgun ban. And earlier this month, Illinois lifted its longstanding ban on guns outside the home following an order from a federal court. The concealed carry law legislators passed on July 9th made it so that Morton Grove wouldn't be able to pass such restrictions again. The law gave communities 10 days to place local limits on the sale, possession, and transport of so-called assault weapons, a timeline Nicole Chen calls ludicrous and a decision she says that shouldn't be left to the state.
Communities should have the discussion amongst themselves that they live with every day and that they coexist with every day.
Chen, a mother of two from Western Springs, began lobbying for gun control following the Sandy Hook school shootings last December. Because Western Springs is in Cook County, it's covered by the county's existing but newly expanded and tougher ban on assault weapons. But a vast majority of the local governments in Illinois did not take action within the 10-day window. Advocates of that approach say it's with good reason. They say gun control should be left to the state and federal governments. Here's Springfield Mayor Mike Houston.
I think it would have created all kinds of problems to have local communities setting up different standards, whereas someone who might be legal in one community could travel to another community and find themselves carrying an illegal weapon.
In Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner.
Yes. Somebody owns an assault weapon, and let's say they're just outside of Bloomington Normal, where it might be okay, odds are they're not going to say, well, gosh, when I cross over into the city of Bloomington, this weapon is illegal. I have difficulty with that type of approach.
Other municipal leaders say they didn't take action because there wasn't enough time. Others cite a fear of getting dragged into court by gun rights groups and getting caught in a legal battle they don't have money to fight. Still, other communities did hurry to pass an ordinance within the window, including Highland Park, Skokie, and Deerfield.
By having something on our books, we are able to see what's going to happen next and how all the dust settles with the concealed carry and the assault weapon bans and whatever. And then if we choose to take further action, we have that ability. With nothing on our books, we don't have the ability to do anything.
Deerfield Mayor Harriet Rosenthal admits the village doesn't see a lot of violence.
And we certainly wouldn't want to wait for some type of violent action and then act.
Trustees in Morton Grove wanted to keep their options open too, says its mayor. On Thursday, the day before the deadline, the board unanimously voted that firearms capable of carrying magazines with more than 30 rounds of ammunition aren't allowed in public. The village that once had the nation's strictest gun prohibition this time took a conservative approach. I'm Amanda Vinicky.